Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young here with you this evening. Thanks for staying up late with us here on Camo X. You know, I've always said that Camo X listeners are the brightest, most well-informed listening audience of any radio station in the country. And here is a perfect example of that. I talked before the last break about one of my reluctances about playing the lottery was I didn't want to get my name disclosed, right? So I said that, and then we've got someone who texted in and said, hey, genius, here's what you do. You do a legal name change. You then accept the lottery winnings with your fake new name, but legal, but your new name. And then after you win the lottery, you go back because you're loaded, right? You go back, you pay for more attorneys, and you get your name changed back to the way it was originally. That's a brilliant idea. So I just wrote down two names here. So if I ever won the lottery and this law doesn't get signed or this bill doesn't get signed into law, I am going to change my name to my first name would be Haywood, you know, like Haywood, you pinch me. And that's going to be my name. And so then I can go, Mike doesn't like that. Haywood, you pinch me. Oh, I know one. Or if my name wasn't Haywood, you pinch me, I could change my name to Al. I've always liked the name Al. Al Kaholic. You could become Al Kaholic. You win the lottery. They publicize, hey, today's winner of the $200 million lottery, Al Kaholic. Okay, and then you go, and after you collect your money, you go change your name back to the way it was. That's a brilliant, brilliant idea. And so we will try to implement that if this law doesn't come into play. The other thing that we've been getting a lot of texts on this evening has been the desire to hear Rebecca Black. Yeah, last week I did an informal poll. I said, listen, I don't like Rebecca Black. But listen, if the callers and the texters and the listeners want to hear Rebecca Black at the end of the show, we will do Rebecca Black. We will listen to this audience. I didn't even make that announcement tonight already. And I've already gotten, I've gotten about six text messages saying we got to play Rebecca Black. So if you've got an opinion on that, feel free to text us at 314-436-7900 and get your vote in now. Of course, we wouldn't be playing until the end of this, or actually the start of the next hour. So you've got some time to get those calls and texts in. You've heard the news. The big news today is that the CDC has said that fully vaccinated people do not need to wear masks indoors or outdoors unless there's some very unique situations like you're riding on a bus, you're flying on a plane, you're working in healthcare, those kind of situations. Otherwise, the chin diapers are behind us. So you can stop wearing those unless, of course, the business requires it, and then you'll have to do that. But if they do, make sure you tell them, hey, pal, follow the science. That's going to be my new phrase, at least until the mask police will pipe down. But it's still important for you to go out and get your shot. I was an early adopter. I got my vaccine early. just because I really wanted an excuse to drive down to Sykeston so I could eat at Lambert's Cafe. That was the whole reason why I did that, because that's a great home of the throat rolls. So, but I got to tell you, one country, I don't know that this is a good idea. You know, Europe has been hit, I think, worse proportionally than most of the United States when it comes to COVID. So in Central Europe, the country of Romania has decided to do this to encourage people to get their vaccinations. Here's what they're doing. You've seen a Dracula movie. I know you've seen a Dracula movie. You've seen the Bela Lugosi. You've seen the iconic Dracula castle that's big and it's scary looking and it's stone and it's always got a full moon and there's always clouds with bats and stuff. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. So in Romania, they are actually giving shots at Dracula's castle, free vaccinations. And I don't know if that's a good idea. You know, if I'm going to Dracula's castle, I don't want somebody sticking something in my veins at Dracula's castle. You know what I'm saying? But they're giving free vaccines at Dracula's castle in Romania. So, you know, listen, if you're into that kind of thing, that's where you can go to get your shot. Hey, we just have about a minute or two here before we get to Johnny Rabbit. But I do want to get to this particular caller. Let's see if I can pull this up here. And it is Kim. Hey, Kim, welcome to Camo X.
Hi, Brad. A couple of things. Mm-hmm. First of all, I go Saturday to get my second shot.
Good for you.
Yeah. And then the other thing is I'm visually impaired and ride collar ride. And I hate walking out when the van pulls up because I always forget to go get my mask. Because their rule is if you don't have a mask, you don't ride. So, and I try to keep one in my purse, and inevitably I walk out and forget one anyway.
I thought it was just me, because I got to tell you, 72.5% of the times that I get out of my car at a place of business, I take about 15 steps before I remember my mask.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, I got to go back. I got to get, and every time. It's just, and so I'm glad I'm not the only one who does that.
Now, as a matter of fact, my brother does it, too. He'll go into Walmart over in O'Fallon and think nothing about not wearing a mask, and they won't. Nobody will say anything over there, and I'll tell him. It's like, well, you're asking for it, dude.
You are asking for it. Well, hey, Kim, thanks for calling in tonight. We got to hit a break here, but thank you so much for calling, and thanks for listening to Camo X. And we did have somebody text in asking me if I'm the guy that sued Lambert's for getting hit with a roll in the eye. No, actually, I represent Lambert's. I've represented them for a number of years on their workers' comp claims. And not once have I gotten a free meal at Lambert's. But, you know, they do pay my bill. So that's fine. And I have no complaints. Hey, coming up after this break, you know them, you love them, you can't live without them. Johnny Rabbit coming up right after this on At Your Service. Camo X.
Earning St. Louis's trust for 96 years. This is KMOX.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young with you here this evening. And listen, it is my joy and pleasure to welcome our very own Johnny Rabbit. You know him, the legend of radio himself, Johnny Rabbit. Hey, welcome back to KMOX, my friend.
What? What an introduction, the legend of radio. Thank you, Brad. Thank you very much. I'm sure glad to be here. I do have my mask on. I have a Bugs Bunny mask on right now. I don't know if you can tell.
I love the ears, though. You know, I love the ears.
Nope, I've got the ears on as well. I don't go anywhere without the ears.
No,
if I want to be on the radio,
all.
I have to have the ears on.
It's a complete package. It brings out the character in you. But, yeah. You know, speaking of character, even when the world's closed, You're a character, so even though the world's closed, you've still got stuff going on. So you've got a virtual event that's coming up that sounds, it sounds rather sweet. Tell us about it.
Ah, it is sweet. Yeah, I've been doing these things for a long time ever since the pandemic hit, and I was put on a hiatus at KMOX until maybe this fall, I hope. I've been doing Zoom programs. You know, 2 years ago, I didn't know how to do a Zoom program, and now I do them about every 3 weeks. And the next one is a real blast from the past. It's OASIS, which is a wonderful not-for-profit organization in St. Louis. They are presenting my program called Vest to Velvet Freeze. It's yours truly, Johnny Rabbit. Here's the information. Let me give the information, if it's okay, how do people get on this.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Right. It's Monday, May 24th, a week from Monday. Starts at 10. It's over at 11. It's on Zoom. And it's open to everyone. There is a $10 fee that goes to OASIS. Space is limited, though. So if anybody's interested, they should try to reserve a spot soon. Two ways to do it. I wish there were easier ways, but I'll give you a phone number. Area code 314, and the number is 562-4859, extension 24. That's 562-4859, extension 24. Or you can visit the website, stloasis.org, and then click on either history or classes or my name, and that's all you have to do there. That's stloasis.org, and click on my name or classes or history, and then we will take together a nostalgic journey in time for, as you said, some sweet stuff. I'll be discussing our town's great history of soda, of ice cream, of dairies, ice cream shops, lunch counters, soda fountains, and candy, too. And we're going to have so many pictures, somewhere between 75 and 100 rare vintage photos to show. And the participants at the end of the show can also ask questions, make comments, whatever they want to do.
Sure.
We're going to tell how the soda fountain really became unpopular. It wasn't really that big deal up until Prohibition. And it sort of replaced the saloon when Prohibition started. Among other things, we'll talk about the St. Louis advertising company that created our modern image of Santa Claus in the 1930s for Coca-Cola. It was done right where you are on the third floor of what was the Missouri Pacific building.
Wow, did not know that, Johnny. Didn't know that till this very moment, because that's a that's an iconic picture of Santa. He's sitting, he's drinking a Coke. It's very iconic. I did not know that was done right here in St. Louis. Question that I have for you,
sure,
Johnny, are you guys going to be talking about the fact that the ice cream cone was invented right here at the 1904 World's Fair?
Oh, absolutely. We'll be talking about the story of the ice cream cone at the World's Fair. We'll even have a really good picture of a family enjoying ice cream cones at the World's Fair. And we're going to talk about how Dr. Pepper was not created in St. Louis or originated at the World's Fair, but it became popularized by the World's Fair. And another thing that was called fairy floss, because we're talking about candy, and that fairy floss was a big deal, but it has another name today. We'll get into that kind of stuff. Oh, that the location for that first Santa Claus, appeared in the ads. He was sitting at the soda fountain, which was on the first floor of a famous bar downtown. We had so many great soda fountains. We're going to talk about, I guess, 100, 125 places, even going back to things like the Belcher Brothers Sugar Refinery. That was just north of downtown, one of several sugar refineries here. And they went back to the Civil War era. And sodas like Smile, Cheer Up, Anheuser-Busch, Grape Bouquet, which was a big seller in Prohibition, Silver Seal, IBC Root Beer, still around, Dr. Schnee, which was a takeoff on Dr. Pepper, created by Vest. We'll talk about Vest, about Blue Ridge. Then we'll also talk about the name Vest. The name, a lot of people think it has something to do with effervescent, but the name Vest, V-E-S-S, no longer a St. Louis company, but this is their biggest city for sales.
Sure.
It came from the owner's name, the creator of the company. His name was Sylvester Jones.
Never knew that.
Sylvester. The Vest is there. And then Brad will have ice cream stories from different companies, some small, some big, Reed, Goldenrod, Chapman's, Vicks, Metropolitan, of course, Velvet Freeze. They still have one location in Jennings in West Florissant, and it's still the original Velvet Freeze recipes. But if we were in 1936 in St. Louis, we would have had a choice of 50 Velvet Freeze locations.
Wow.
Oh, and we're going to talk about dairies like Peevely, the Peevely Playhouse with Russ David, and Pinky Peevely. We'll talk about quality dairy and their mascot, King Quality. And we haven't even touched the candy business. We got to get into all the candy companies that we're here to.
And if folks want that information, can I go over that again? What's the phone number, Johnny, that folks can call to get more information about this? And also give that website again.
All right, Brad. It's area code 314. The phone number is 562 4859 562-4859 and extension 24, or the website is stloasis.org, and click on either history or classes or Johnny Rabbit, stloasis.org. Now, what I'm about to do is have a Johnny Rabbit chocolate-covered cherry concrete. I picked it up a few minutes ago at Ted Drew's Frozen Custard.
Great.
Oh, they're so good. And, oh, I'm going to put a St. Louis product on top of it. Ready Whip. That was created over in Forest Park about 1947. Oh, and if you don't mind, I got two more plugs.
No, that's all right. Go right ahead, Johnny. But I do have to tell you, before you move on, though, when I was a kid, I grew up in Southern Illinois. My grandfather was the manager of a small dairy, and they had a milkshake shop up in the front where people would come in. You'd buy milkshakes, and they were a nickel or something. And when that thing closed, I got the milkshake machine. So
my
basement, I've got a vintage circa 1938, 1940 milkshake maker in my basement. Still works. We still use it. And it is definitely a blast from the past.
Oh, you're not kidding. That's wonderful. What was the name of the ice cream company or ice cream shop?
It was a small independent owner. It was called New Era Dairy, and they had a location in our hometown, and my dad was the milkman, and my grandfather ran the milk shop and ran the dairy, and it was your typical small-town business.
Well, I'm going to call you back about that because I want to be sure to include this on our program. That's a good one that I didn't know about. But a couple of other Johnny Rabbit specials are the original banana malt at Crown Candy Kitchen and the Johnny Rabbit Monkey Malt, which is at the Fountain on Locust. So those are three Johnny Rabbit things that people can enjoy. But I've really been involved with ice cream. I don't know how long. Oh, incidentally, I forgot this. Channel 9 is going to come to record the program that I'm doing on Monday. It's Monday the 24th, week from Monday from 10 to 11. So Ruth Ezell and the cameraman and everybody from Channel 9, Living St. Louis, is going to come and show how we do this on Zoom to talk about how Oasis and the Missouri History Museum, that I'm also doing Zoom programs for, are not just educating but also entertaining people. So if they're stuck at home and there's no place to go and a lot of places still close, this is a good way to find out about St. Louis.
Right. I've got 314-562-4859, extension 24, and also stloasis.org, and click on either History or Johnny Rabbit.
That's great. That's it. And it's wonderful for you to have me on. I really, really appreciate it.
Hey,
enjoy the show. Maybe you can tune in.
That's something I will be very interested in. Two quick questions before we let you go, Johnny. First of all, I got to ask you, have you taken your Neovitin today?
Oh, my gosh. How would a day without Neovitin? I don't know what I'd do. Of course I've taken it twice today, as a matter of fact. Supposed to take it two times a day.
Yeah, very good. Second question.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is something my wife asks me weekly. When is Johnny Rabbit coming back on Saturday nights? It's not Saturday night without Johnny Rabbit on KMOX. So any ideas when we can get you back into the place where you belong?
Oh, Brad, that is very nice. I was talking to our engineer, Ryan Schulte, this evening about that and about equipment. It's in the works. I don't think it's going to happen until this fall sometime after the baseball season. That's my prediction. But it's not locked in stone. But there is something in the works for that.
Very good.
Also, when we get back to live programming on stage at the Lee Auditorium at the History Museum, I want you to come to be on one of our presentations. You said you'd be interested in
doing that.
So maybe you can do it sometime.
Count me in. And my wife just texted me, Velvet Freeze Gold Coast Chocolate is her favorite.
And that was great. Good for her.
That is her favorite. So Johnny Rabbit, again, 314-562-4859, extension 24, or stloasis.org/. Click on History or Johnny Rabbit if you want to be a part of this nostalgic event about St. Louis soda, ice cream, and candies.
Yes,
Johnny,
sir.
Thanks for joining us this evening on KMOX.
My goodness, thank you.
Thanks, my friend. Hey, when we come back from this break, one of the other things that has been in the news this week, overshadowed by some other events, but there's been two events dealing with asteroids. We're going to talk to an actual astrophysicist, you know, the kind of guy whose IQ is like five times what my IQ is, an astrophysicist. We're going to talk to him after this break here on At Your Service, KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Get the inside story on what's happening with your St. Louis Cardinals this season directly from the Redbirds manager. It's the Mike Schilt Show, Sunday mornings at 10:15, sponsored by Bath Fitter on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to At Your Service, Brad Young in this evening. And one of the other news stories, we've heard a lot of space news recently, particularly about the rover on Mars and about the helicopter on Mars. And I've been watching that story extremely closely. But we've had other space news that hasn't gotten the same amount of attention, but I don't think it's any less important. And it deals with asteroids. In fact, there have been two different asteroid stories in the press this week. And to break it down, because this stuff is way beyond my pay grade, I reached out to Dr. Ryan Ogliori. He's a PhD from the California Institute of Technology. He's an assistant professor of physics at Washington University right here in St. Louis. Dr. Ogliori, welcome to KMOX.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I appreciate you making time for us. This week, a NASA spacecraft, it's OSIRIS-REx, started its trip home after collecting debris from the asteroid. I think it's pronounced Bennu, and if I'm saying that incorrectly, feel free to correct me. But before we get into all the technical aspects of how NASA pulled off this amazing feat of landing on an asteroid and getting debris and now coming back home, the real question, I think, before we talk about the technical aspects, Doctor, is why is this even important? I mean, what do we hope to learn from studying actual debris from an asteroid?
Right. So the asteroid Bennu, you pronounced that correctly. And this asteroid is it's called a C-type asteroid. And the important thing about this asteroid is that it likely preserved some of the very starting materials that were around when the solar system formed. So in some ways, it's a time capsule going back to about 4.6 billion years ago that contains those primitive components that are the origins of us and the whole solar system.
Well, is there any water on this particular asteroid? Because I know that's something that scientists have been looking for, particularly either on Mars and elsewhere as a potential source of fuel in the future to convert water, both for use by humans, but also by fuel. But is there any water on this particular asteroid?
Yes, on Bennu, definitely. They had the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft orbiting the asteroid for a while, and it was very well characterized. And one thing they definitely found was indication for hydrated minerals, and these are minerals that contain OH or hydroxyl, or in some cases you can call that water, in their structure. And just a year or two ago, there was a very convincing paper about how there's definitely those water bands on the surface of Bennu and likely all the way through Bennu. It's likely the same material on the inside and outside. So definitely there's water there, and we'll know for sure when the samples come back.
Absolutely. And comets are often referred to as dirty snowballs, but that's different than an asteroid. How could you characterize, if there is even a way, to characterize what generally is the makeup of an asteroid?
Yeah, the definition comet is like a lot of astronomy definitions. It's a purely observational definition. So when you say comet, that just means that it shows cometary activity, and that means it has a tail, like we all picture when we think of a comet. So an asteroid can become a comet. It could form a tail. It can, and that's physically what's happening, is that volatile materials are outgassing and forming that cloud around the body. And there really is a continuum between asteroids and comets. It's not really a sharp line. There are asteroids that contain ice. And if they can contain a lot of ice and get close enough to the sun for that ice to evaporate, they become comets. So it really is a continuum. And really, the really cool stuff is in the comets. So we know, and we have returned material from comets as well. And we know those have been kept so cold because they contain really, really low temperature ices, like carbon monoxide ice has been found on comets. And those are the real pristine time capsules are the comets.
We're talking to astrophysicist Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University right here in St. Louis. And briefly walk us through the process. We know now why it's important to study this. It gives us a glimpse, like a time capsule into the history of our universe. But what were the technical challenges of sending a spacecraft to a near-Earth asteroid, landing on it, obtaining debris, and then returning it to Earth? What were some of the technical challenges involved with doing that?
Yeah, so the body's very small, so it has very limited gravity, right? So it's not like orbiting Mars or something like that. And all of the maneuvers are all the forces involved are very small. And so when this spacecraft put down, it looks, the sample collecting mechanism kind of looked like an air filter in your car. And it was at the end of a long rod they call a boom. And then that was put down on the asteroid surface. A jet of pure nitrogen gas was ejected, which stirred up the material and ended up in that sample container. And we've been hearing about this in my community for many, many years now. And the sample scientist in charge of that operation is a very good friend of mine. And he's been nervous for a long time. And
justifiably happened, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's decades, right? You see, like all of these missions, you know, the public is interested, you know, for a few weeks, but it takes 10, 20 years of planning to get these things going.
Amazing.
So he was very nervous, and I was amazed to see when they collected it, they got so much material that the canister couldn't even close. So it was a stunning success. They got probably 10 times more than they had planned. So it was great.
Well, we've seen something like this before. I mean, I've read that in at least on two occasions, Japan has obtained debris from an asteroid, but they did it differently. How is this OSIRIS-REx, the NASA probe, how is it collecting this debris differently than what, say, Japan has done in the past?
Yeah, Japan has had two of these missions. They're both called Hayabusa, so Hayabusa and Hayabusa 2. I studied samples from the first Hayabusa mission, and on that one, all kinds of things went wrong. And both of those missions were supposed to fire a bullet into the asteroid and collect material that was ejected from that. And the first mission, the bullet never fired, but just the rockets of the spacecraft getting close to the asteroid were enough to stir up that surface material, that surface dust, and they got lots of material back. And I look at things on a very, very small scale. So, you know, a piece of dust that you can't even see, I could study for 2 years. So in terms of what I need, they brought back tons of material. And for Hayabusa 2, it did work. So they fired a sphere into asteroid Ryugu, which is a similar type as the asteroid that OSIRIS-REx visited, but considerably larger. And they collected material. It's been returned. It landed in Australia earlier, like late last year. And they also got more than they expected. So that was also a great success.
Well, when it comes to our probe right now that's on its way back, the OSIRIS-REx probe, how long, Dr. Ogliori, how long will it take for that probe to get back to Earth?
Gosh, I think it's a couple more years still. So we are a little later than the Japanese mission for this. They are kind of sister missions. They collaborate and they will share samples once our samples come back, but it's going to be a couple years still. We have lots to do. When the sample comes back, the first thing to do is try to analyze it without that sample seeing the Earth's atmosphere. And this is one of the great benefits of these missions, because we do have meteorites from these types of asteroids in our collections. They land every few months, really. But these materials that the missions are bringing back are pristine.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't seen their atmosphere, and I think they can contain some very cool minerals that aren't available, that don't survive in meteorites.
Well, interesting. We're talking to astrophysicist Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. I want to just briefly touch on a second asteroid-related topic from this week, if you've got just another minute or two, and that is that this month there was a NASA exercise to study ways to protect the Earth in the event that an asteroid is found to be on a collision course with the Earth. What was the result of that particular exercise?
I saw a headline for that, and I've been busy with the end of classes. So
that's all right.
Can you tell me?
Sure, I can absolutely tell you, because I want to ask you a question about this. The procedure, NASA partnered with the military, and they studied various different ways to protect the Earth in case there was an asteroid that came into collision with the Earth. And the basic result of the exercise was that unless we have 5 or 10 years notice, there's really nothing that we could do about an asteroid that would be on a collision course with the Earth. And I guess just my generic question is what are some of the physics challenges? Because we're all picturing, okay, let's be real, we're all picturing Bruce Willis at Armageddon going up there and just putting a nuke in the thing and saving the Earth at the last minute. But of course, that's Hollywood. That's not reality. So what are the physics challenges? What are the physics challenges with maybe altering the course of an asteroid or breaking it up into smaller pieces if one were on a collision course with the Earth?
Yeah, I've heard about things like, indeed, if you can figure out this is happening very, very far in the future, you can do something simple like a kinetic impactor, just run something into it to nudge it a little bit. The trouble with this is that the orbital parameters that you need to characterize for a small dark body, it's so hard to get those because you can't see them very well on telescopes.
Right.
And really this happens every day. Like, we hit asteroids every day and they burn up in the atmosphere. A real wake up call happened about 9 years ago over Russia, where a considerably large asteroid that ended up being named the Chelyabinsk meteorite came in and it broke windows. And I think it's a legitimate threat. From the statistics I've seen, I think we have underestimated the number of very large objects that will hit the Earth. It's a small numbers game, and from the evidence I've seen, I think it's just a matter of time. And I think it's something we need to start thinking about. And there are new telescopes, one in Hawaii, on Haleakala, and a couple others that can see these objects that are small, and they don't reflect a lot of light, and they're moving close to the sun. So we're getting better at detecting these things. And certainly we need to get better quickly, because it's just a matter of when, not if it's going to happen.
Understood. Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University in St. Louis, hey, thanks for joining us this evening here on KMOX.
Thank you, Brad.
Appreciate it. Hey, when we come back, phone lines are open. Give us a call. What's on your mind? 314-436-7900. Call or text here on At Your Service, KMOX, Brad Young. We'll be back right after this.
Trusted information, live and local. From the award-winning KMOX Newsroom.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young with you this evening. And we've got another space story here to get to, but I just couldn't pass up this story because, before we even get to this barbecue story, I've got a barbecue story. I love barbecue. But before we even talk about that, a couple of weeks ago when I was in, I was talking about, in fact, it was the first week that Ryan went from doing Overnight America to doing St. Louis Talks. And of course, if you're tuning in now and you're wondering, hey, that's not Ryan Recker. Who is this guy? Ryan, of course, has switched to days. He's on from 11 to 2 on St. Louis Talks with our own Carol Daniel and Bo Matthews. And if you haven't listened to that show yet, you need to check it out. It is great. It's hyper-focused on St. Louis. And every day there's stuff that you need to hear. Even if there's a Cardinals game, they're recording podcasts, and you can get that on demand at camox.com. So I just casually mentioned one time, I think it was that first day that the St. Louis Talks was on, I just casually mentioned, well, you know, now that Ryan's not working evenings and he's working during the days, maybe there could be a third record child in the near future. And I wagered that, you know, I wagered like $20 on August when we would hear some sort of an announcement. Now, folks, this is not an announcement, but I did have somebody text in that asked about that and asked, rather said that he had $10 on July. So if we hear of anything, I promise you I'll have Ryan in here to personally talk about it. But, you know, if you ask me from my absolutely uninformed and have no information to form this opinion, I'm guessing before the end of summer, but that's just me. I can't speculate on that any further. One thing that I don't have to speculate though is St. Louis has great barbecue. St. Louis has great barbecue. There's just no doubt about it. And what's interesting is that we always hear, and I always grew up hearing, oh, Kansas City, you know, Kansas City's got the great barbecue. Well, TripAdvisor today came out with the 10 best cities in America for barbecue. And let me tell you, folks, Kansas City is not on it. They're not on it. They are not on the TripAdvisor top 10 cities for barbecue. They're not. New Orleans came in first. That's not surprising. Oklahoma City, also not surprising. Tied for third was Wichita, Kansas. Now, that does surprise me. Virginia Beach, Virginia, that really surprises me. And Charlotte, North Carolina, that sounds about right. Those three cities tied for third. Columbus, Ohio is in sixth. Seattle is seventh, but St. Louis came in eighth nationwide for barbecue. So I got to tell you, my favorite barbecue place, in St. Louis, without a doubt, Sugar Fire. It's Sugar Fire and Pappy's. I love Pappy's. I love going there. I think I saw Adam Wainwright at Pappy's once when I was there before the COVID. You know, it was good. I said hi. He didn't care. But he was very nice. But my point being is that we have some very good barbecue. Salt and Smoke we've got here. We've got, have you ever been down to Murfreesboro, Illinois? It's about, I went to college in Carbondale, and Murfreesboro is probably about 90 minutes east from St. Louis. They've got one of the best barbecue places in the country. It wins over and over and over again as the best barbecue in the country. It's a place called 17th Street Barbecue, and it is truly fabulous. So we've got some excellent barbecue, but what is your favorite barbecue place? I know we're coming up here on a break, but if you want to call or text, I would love to hear it, because I just like it that we beat Kansas City, because I've always heard about how great the Kansas City barbecue is. I've been to Kansas City many, many times for business, for pleasure. My daughter lived there for a long time. I would go over there and everybody would say, oh, you know, we've got better barbecue than St. Louis. Well, according to TripAdvisor, that is not the case. Because TripAdvisor says St. Louis is seventh in the country, and I'm going to absolutely go with that. But what is your particularly favorite barbecue place? 314-436-7900, call or text. Would love to hear from you. And, you know, we talked with an astrophysicist. Now, how many times do you get to talk to an astrophysicist? And, of course, you may be saying that, you know, once is too many, because they're typically not the life of the party, but they're the smartest guys in the room. Okay. They truly are. And so I was very glad that Dr. Ryan Ogliori could take out some time today to talk with us, but we've got some more space news dealing with Tom Cruise and shooting a movie on the International Space Station. There's now apparently the new space race. You know, we were in a space race with Russia to put a man on the moon. We've got a new space race dealing with the International Space Station. We'll be dealing with that and more coming up after this break on At Your Service, KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.